Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we've been doing a series here on the radio broadcast called The One Another Principles. And over the past 5 weeks, we've been looking at the one another, quote unquote, one another passages in the Bible. We have learned how to greet one another, honor one another, be devoted to one another, serve one another, submit to one another, live in harmony with one another, and accept one another. Today, we'll learn what it means to bear with one another. Now, there's a big word, bear with one another. Before we go to God's Word, let us have a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we just come before you today, and we give thanks that you love us, that you loved us so much that you would send your Son Jesus to die for us so that we could have eternal life. And help us to learn to bear with one another as we learn to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 10. It's a long reading. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 4, 1 through 10. Paul writes these words, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." That's a great word. I would say that right now to everyone listening. I'm going to pause right there. God is calling you to a new way of life. I don't know where you're at, but God does. And he's calling you maybe to walk out of darkness, maybe to walk out of your sin, maybe to walk out of your depression and come into the marvelous light. Walk in that life that is worthy of your calling. Verse 2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." That we're going to spend most of our time really on verse 2. We're probably not even going to get to verse 10, but I'm going to read it for you. Verse 2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower earth regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." Wow. Let me go back to the very beginning. He says, "And as God's chosen," well, this is verse 12. "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Verse 13, "Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive." Forgive one another. Wow, bear with one another. Bear with one another. That's what we're called to do. Do you see what comes just before our scripture? He says, "Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience." Yep, that's today's message, is going to get personal. This may be a little bit too hard. Don't turn off the program. We're gonna be personal. We're going to learn how to bear with one another. Paul says, "Bear with one another in love. Bear with one another and forgive one another just as you have been forgiven." As we live together, and that's the truth, we're living together. As we live together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we get to know each other's idiosyncrasies. and we are faced with these challenges to bear with one another in love. When we're tempted to be impatient with one another, we need to think about Jesus Christ and his attitude towards us. Christ has forgiven us. Wow. I'm going to say that right now. Maybe you're really struggling. Just ask Jesus to forgive you right now. Just ask Jesus to forgive you, and I pray that you'll hear these words: you're forgiven, go and sin no more. Christ forgives us, so he wants us to forgive others. Christ also forgives those who were sinning against him. The Greek word for bear, it means to endure, to have patience, to accept, to endure something unpleasant or difficult. That's what it means in the Greek. Did you hear that? It means to endure with that person, have patience with that person, accept that person, and endure what's unpleasant and difficult. Well, you may ask, how are we supposed to do that? Well, here's a couple simple ways that I've learned to bear with one another. I'm going to be personal. I try to stop and take a look at myself before looking at the weaknesses or the idiosyncrasies of others. The truth is, I have my own weaknesses and my own idiosyncrasies that I ask others to bear with me. Here are some practical questions that you can ask yourself, and I'll email these to you. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and I'll email you these questions. What do I do or not do at home that irritates the people I live with? Yeah, I can get a smile out of your face there. What do I do or not do at home that irritates the people I live with? What do I do or not do at church that irritates my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Speaking of church, I invite you to come and join us any Sunday at 10 o'clock at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center in Rancho Cucamonga, and join us for church. If you don't have a home church, I'll help you find a church. It's important for us to be in a fellowship. So what do I do or don't do at church that irritates my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Third, what do I do or do not do at work or at school that irritates my fellow employees or my employer or my teacher or my fellow students? Those are some tough questions. Question number four. What do I do or not do that irritates the people that I associate with during the week? You know, the outer circle of your life, your sports, your drama, the gym, the grocery store, the stores you go to. Number five, do I expect more from others than I do from myself? I'm going to repeat that again, because so often we expect more from others than we're willing to give. Do I expect more from others than I do from myself? Number six, do I criticize others? Yeah, there's a long pause. Do I criticize others? Do I hold others to a higher standard than I hold myself? Paul tells us that we need to clothe ourselves. We all put our clothes on in the morning. Clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you. Boy, that's a big word statement, isn't it? Forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you. It takes a whole lot in order for us to bear with one another. It is so true that we need to be kind, compassionate, meek, humble, patient with others, clothe ourselves with these awesomely terrific qualities. That's really not as easy as it sounds, is it? Corrie Ten Boom survived a Nazi concentration camp during World War II, and she's written and shared many stories of forgiveness. I don't know if you've read any of her books. I'd encourage you to go and pick up some of her books. She shared about meeting one of the guards from the same prison camp that her sister died in, where she was being held as a prisoner of war. her and her sister were both there, and her sister died. The guard had come up to her, and he spoke. He used this illustration, and I know I've used it before, maybe even on this radio. The guard asked Corey to forgive him. He stuck out his hand, forgive. It took her a long minute, maybe a few minutes, maybe even 3 minutes, but she did say she forgave him. Listen to the illustration from her book called Tramp for the Lord. That's the title of her book, Tramp for the Lord by Corey Ten Boom. These are her words. I wish I could say after a long and fruitful life traveling the world, I have learned to forgive all my enemies. I wish I could say that merciful and charitable thoughts just naturally flowed from me and onto others, but they don't. There is one thing I've learned since I've passed my 80th birthday. Did you hear me? She's writing this when she's over 80 years old. There's one thing I've learned since I passed my 80th birthday is that I can't store up good feelings and behavior, but only draw them fresh from God each day. Maybe I'm glad it's that way, for every time I go to Him, He teaches me something else. I recall the time, and I was almost 70, when some Christian friends whom I loved and trusted did something which hurt me. You would have thought that having been able to forgive the guards at Ravensbrook, forgiving Christian friends would be child's play. It wasn't. For weeks I seethed inside, but at last I asked God again to work His miracles in me, and again it happened. First, the cold-blooded decision, then the flood of joy and peace. I had forgiven my friends. I was restored to my Father. Then, while I was suddenly awake in the middle of the night, rehashing the whole affair again. Does that ever happen to you? It happens to me. She writes, my friends, I thought, people I loved. If I had been strangers, I wouldn't have minded so. I sat up and switched on the light. Father, I thought it was all forgiven. Please help me do it. But the next night I woke up again. They'd talk so sweetly, too, never a hint of what they were planning. Father, I cried in alarm, help me. Then it was that the other secret of forgiveness became evident. It was not enough to simply say, I forgive you. I must also begin to live it out. In any case, that meant acting as though their sin, like mine, were buried in the depths of the deepest sea. If God could remember them no more, and He said so, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more, Hebrews 10:17, then neither should I. And the reason the thoughts kept coming back to me was that I kept turning their sin over in my mind. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I'm reading a little bit of a story out of Corey Ten Boom's book, The Tramp for the Lord. And I'm going to continue. She's been wrestling with forgiving her Christian friends when she's 80 years old. She had forgiven her guards at Ravensbrook. She'd lived her life, but now some Christian friends had betrayed her, and she's wrestling with that. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're wrestling with forgiving someone. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's someone in your church. Maybe it's someone at your work. Keep listening. These are Corey's words. I'm going to go back to her story. And Corey said, and so I discovered another of God's principles. We can trust God not only for emotions, but also for our thoughts. As I asked Him to renew my mind, He also took away my thoughts. He still had more to teach me, however, even from this single episode. Many years later, after I had passed my 80th birthday, an American friend came to visit me in Holland. And as he sat in my little apartment, he asked me about those people from long ago who had taken advantage of me. Oh, it's nothing, I said a little smugly. It's all forgiven. By you, yes, he said, but what about them? Have they accepted your forgiveness? They say there is nothing to forgive. They deny it ever happened. No matter what they say, though, I can prove they were wrong. I went eagerly to my desk. See, I have it in black and white. I saved all their letters, and I can show you where. Corey, my friend slipped his arm around mine and gently closed the drawer. Aren't you the one whose sins are at the bottom of the sea? Yet are the sins of your friends etched in black and white? For an astonishing moment, I could find my voice. Lord Jesus, I whispered at last, who takes away my sins? Forgive me for preserving all these years the evidence against others. Give me grace to burn all the black and whites as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to your glory. I did not go to sleep that night until I'd gone through my desk and pulled out those letters, curling now with old age, and fed them into my little coal-burning grate. As the flames leaped and glowed, so did my heart. Forgive us our trespasses, Jesus taught us to pray, as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the ashes of those letters, I was seeing yet another facet of his mercy. What more he would teach me about forgiveness in the days ahead, I didn't know. But tonight was good enough news for me. Forgiveness is the key which unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. The forgiveness of Jesus not only takes away our sins, it makes them as if they were never been. So what? What do those ancient words of life have to do with you and me today? I challenge you right now. Maybe you've got some text messages you've been holding on to. Delete them. Maybe you've got some emails you've been holding on to. Delete them. Maybe you've got some letters that you've been holding on to as evidence. Burn them or tear them up or shred them. Let the past go so that you can be freed today. Forgiveness is the key which unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. The forgiveness of Jesus not only takes away our sins, it makes them as if they've never been. I'm going to challenge you, as we've been looking at this one another principle, that we learn to forgive. We forget to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. In 2012, my wife had a dream that reshaped her heart and life. My wife, Jacqueline, I call her Jack, calls it the dream of the Teflon heart. In the dream, she was taken up to heaven. Jesus had her stand against a wall of beautiful white marble with slashes of gold. Jesus reached in to take her heart out, and Jesus told her not to move, that this would not, if she didn't move, it would not hurt. Jesus then reached in and took her heart out of her body and held it in his hands, and he stood there looking at her heart, and he started exploring her heart like a pound of Play-Doh. And he would say, "Well, what's this?" he asked as he pulled out the rocks and lumps in her heart. Funny thing, my wife knew exactly what each rock was. Jesus told her that those rocks were old and so deeply buried in her heart, he needed to remove them so that she could have a heart like his. Slowly, steadily, surely, little by little, Jesus removed the hurts, the grudges, the pain, the betrayals by family, friends, co-workers, and strangers. Jesus came to one rather large stone. He looked at her and he said, "Oh, wow, you've been holding on to this one for a very long time. You sure are a good grudge holder." When Jesus finally finished removing all the grudges, unforgiveness, hurts, and pains, he took her heart and coated it with a black solution. And as Jesus was soaking her heart, my wife, Jack, asked her what the black gooey solution was, and Jesus told her Teflon. And after Jesus soaked her heart with Teflon, he started covering her heart with all kinds of precious jewels, diamonds, rubies, amethyst, emeralds, sapphires, garnets, and tanzanite, every precious jewel and metal there was. When Jesus was finished with coating her heart, he put her back inside her body, and he stood there, and he looked at her, and he smiled. "Now you have a heart like mine." My wife, she woke up that morning. It was July 4th. She woke up feeling her heart, and as she jumped out of bed. I remember that day. She jumped out of bed, and she kept saying, "I had heart surgery last night. I mean it. I have a new heart. Jesus gave me a new heart. Oh, my gosh." And she told me how she had forgiven everyone for everything and how good her new Jesus heart felt. My wife, Jack, now tells everyone about her Teflon heart. You too can have one. Just tell Jesus about all those grudges, hurts, pain, betrayals that you bury and that you've been carrying. Forgive, just like he forgives you. Corrie Ten Boom lived for 10 years, 10 years holding on to black and white letters. You know, she held on to these letters in her desk drawer as evidence of her hurt and betrayal, her pain and her unforgiveness. When she finally burned those letters, she let go and she was truly set free. She was truly set free to forgive one another and bear with one another. When my wife let go of her deep hurts, her pains, betrayals, and unforgiveness, she was truly set free, and she's learned to bear with those who have hurt her. That was in 2012. That was 7 years ago. If you get to meet my wife, we met some people that who listened to some of the programming this past week. Sometimes you'll see her just flick on her heart because she's not going to let things go into her heart. And I've learned to do that too. God wants you to have a pure heart like his. So what? Well, all I can say is that before we learn how we can bear with one another, we need to make sure that we have clothed ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Isn't that what Jesus does with us? Doesn't Jesus bear with us? Isn't it Jesus' compassion, his kindness, his humility, his meekness, and his patience with us that makes us a better person? I have some really good news for us today. And it comes from the good news of the gospel in our passage today. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. My challenge to you this week is to bear with one another and forgive one another. Remember, forgiveness is the key which unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. The forgiveness of Jesus not only takes away our sins, it makes them as if they've never been. My prayer is that you will forgive those who have hurt you. I know it's hard, but forgiveness will set you free so that you can live a life in Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for your great love. We give thanks for your forgiveness. We give thanks that you have forgiven us. Help us today to forgive one another and bear with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know it's never too late. It's never too late for God to work in your life. It's never too late for God to heal. It's never too late for God to restore. It's never too late for God to reconcile. It's never too late for God to bring hope into your life. We've been doing this series on the one another principle. This week, we're learning to bear with one another and put on the clothes of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience so that we can bear with one another and forgive one another. That's my prayer for you. And I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.